Our New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 17. Listen for the word of the Lord. So, we're always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we're also well known to your consciences. We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us so that we may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we're beside ourselves, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the way you continue to make all things new. We ask that in the hearing of your word this morning, you will make us new as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So before I went to seminary, I was a film major in undergrad. One of the classes I had to take was storyboarding. If you've ever watched the How It's Made videos, you'll see like there's little sketches from frame to frame of, oh, we'll see, this will happen, and then this will happen, and then this will happen. It's kind of a cheap way to make a quick drawing and get a sense for what's going to happen in the story so that you can show it to other people. And in my storyboarding class, the professor talked about the building blocks of a story. I'm going to move the font again. Building blocks of a story, you've got three pieces. You have the status quo. Something interrupts the status quo. New status quo. Status quo, interruption of status quo, new status quo. I'm sure that's very clear, so we won't give any illustrations. It's normal, interruption, new normal. So, have you seen The Wizard of Oz, by chance? I picked this because I assumed that it was a story everyone has seen. So, the status quo is Dorothy in Kansas. The interruption is this tornado that comes, and the new status quo is now Dorothy is in Oz. You with me? Okay. But the broad plot, we have Dorothy is sort of unhappy in Kansas, right? She's unhappy, isn't she? Okay. And then the interruption is that she ends up in Oz, and the new status quo, there's no place like home. Okay. Normal, interruption, new normal. Seen Lord of the Rings or read the book? It starts with Frodo in the Shire, and the interruption is that Bilbo gives Frodo the One Ring. And the status quo has changed. Now Frodo has to go and destroy the One Ring. Or more broadly, starts with Frodo in the Shire, and then there's the journey to return the One Ring to the flames of Mount Doom from which it came. Tolkien was really on the nose with his titles. Then the Shire isn't home anymore. That is the new status quo once he's put the ring in Mount Doom. Normal, interruption, new normal. Start with a Bible story. David and Goliath. David's a shepherd. The interruption is David hearing Goliath boasting. And the new normal is that David becomes a fighter who has killed Goliath. Normal, interruption, new normal. I promise we're going somewhere. Star Wars. You guys get the idea, right? Luke's on Tatooine, the Emperor destroys his house and kills his aunt and uncle, and now he can't go home again. That's the new status quo, is that he can't go home again. Now we have an interesting one. This is from this morning's text. Saul is king of Israel. The interruption of this status quo is that God tells Samuel to anoint David as king. That is an interruption. And the new status quo is we have David anointed king. Few observations on interruptions. First, they are necessary because things are not okay. Or sometimes they're not necessary. Sometimes things are okay and they just get interrupted. They're necessary because things are not okay. Look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord says to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I've rejected him from being king." Saul can't be king anymore. It's not okay that Saul is king. Saul has been not doing as he was told by God, and God says, "He's done. I'm done with him." So, things are not okay. Second, these interruptions are often difficult and threatening. Samuel asks God, "How can I go and anoint David king? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." Generally, kings don't take kindly to having other people made kings instead of them. You see that happening with Herod as Jesus is born and the wise men come to meet the newborn king. And Herod says, "I'd like to worship him too." But he really just wants to kill him. How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. That's the interruption. It's dangerous. It's also critical, but the interruption often leaves us no choice but to go in a different way. Luke can't go home again. Frodo can't just give the ring back to Uncle Bilbo. And Dorothy can't just click her heels three times and find her way back home, at least not at the beginning. The interruption leaves us no choice but to go on in a different way. Samuel says, "If Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." The Lord says, and I realized midway through, this isn't just a compulsion, this is also a clever excuse. "Take a heifer with you. Say, I've come to offer sacrifice to the Lord." So now you have an excuse for being in Bethlehem. Am I missing something? Right. The elders of the city come to meet Samuel trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" That's not right. I'm missing a slide. I am missing a slide. In between there, it should say that... that slide's just out of place. Sorry. Okay. Here's another one. You see police officers rarely facing legal consequences for wrongful behavior. That's your status quo. Interruption. Derek Chauvin murders George Floyd. The new status quo is you have that him finding guilty and there's people attempting systemic changes. There's protests all over the place. That's the new status quo. And here we are at Fairplain Presbyterian Church. We had the status quo of normalcy, whatever normal looked like before a global pandemic. Interruption of the status quo is a global pandemic. And now we have this new status quo, this new way of being after the pandemic. What is that going to look like? And you'll see that I've described it carefully, exactly where things are going with four question marks. Interruption is a little like fire. You see the Holy Spirit interrupting the status quo at Pentecost with tongues of fire. And you know that fire transforms things. Fire transforms things. Like, the interruption is a kind of fire, so it's heat, and it makes things malleable and changeable. That's why they heat up steel before they hammer it into shape. What we have in a pandemic is heat, and it's changing things so that they can be shaped into something new. Another thought. We have more power than we think we do, and I think this is where the slide about Samuel. Yeah, Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city come to meet him trembling and say, "Do you come in peace?" Why would they say that? Because when the prophet shows up, you may be in trouble. When the prophet shows up, you may be in trouble. The elders of the city meet him trembling. So we have more power than we think we do. Samuel is scared of Saul, and everybody else is scared of Samuel. If we're being honest, Saul's probably scared of Samuel. Second, the new status quo may be unexpected. Look at 1 Samuel 16:11. We just read this. Samuel asks, Jesse, are all your sons here? And even Jesse has had David as an afterthought. Oh, the youngest one's out in the fields. And Samuel says, send and get him. We won't sit down till he comes. The new status quo can be unexpected. Finally, the source of our ability to go through the interruption to this new status quo is, I believe, the love of Christ. You remember Jesus? Status quo lives on earth. Interruption is executed and rejected, and the new status quo is the whole universe is made new. You could rewind a little bit further and say, the status quo is the world before Jesus. Jesus is himself the interruption, and the new status quo is the universe made new. I'm going to look at this fun Greek word named sunike. The love of Christ, New Revised Standard Version says, urges us on. The love of Christ sunike us. What does that mean? It's not just urges us on. If you look in 15 different translations, you'll get 15 different translations of that word sunike. And that's because it has a lot of possible meanings. It's from sun, together, and echo, hold. And it's used in words like hemmed in, captured, seized, arrested. The love of Christ has got us in, has seized us. You probably, this is a little small. The way it's used in the New Revised Standard Version is occupied or surrounded or seized, suffering, holding, hem, stress, afflicted, covered, or sick. You're being held in by something. That's what we have in Psalm 139, if you remember reading it during the call to worship. It says, you have hemmed me in behind and before. The love of Christ is squeezing us and compelling us. The love of Christ sunikes us. Thoughts on the new status quo. We have more power than we think we do. The new status quo may be unexpected, and the love of Christ is going to capture us and bring us through to the new status quo. Here we are. Normalcy, global pandemic, 4 question marks. Spoiler, I don't have things to fill in those 4, but I have a few ideas about what might be part of that. First off, some people who used to worship in the building every week have gotten used to worshiping with us virtually. And to say something about that, before Kristen and I got married, before I even really had intentions about her, I was talking to the person who ran the camp I worked at about just how much I just really wanted to be married. And we were talking about it, and she says, marriage isn't better or worse, it's just different. That's a little bit where we are on the new status quo number 1. Some people who used to worship in the building have gotten used to worshiping virtually. not better, it's not worse, it's just different. In some ways, it's harder because we don't see them, but in other ways, it's better because people from all over the place, even people who maybe aren't feeling up coming in for worship in person, can come join us virtually. And hi, we're glad you're here. Hope I waved at the right camera. Second part of that, some haven't been able to attend in the building and they can now join us virtually. Another part of that is that masks and social distancing are probably going to be around for a while. And I know for a fact I'm going to be wearing masks once if I ever get a cold again, which I hope I don't, but I probably will. So I'll be wearing a mask so that I don't spread it. Now I know how to avoid spreading colds. It's fantastic. That's part of that new status quo. Another piece is we're sharing our building with YouthWorks this summer. I love that. Another piece, we don't have choir back. Not yet. Bill was just asking me about that this morning, and I don't know when that's coming back. Piece of that new status quo that could be interrupted. And six, I don't know. The question being, how can we live into God's call to love God and our neighbors and being sunakade? How is that? How is God's love going to sunakay us into that new status quo? Love thy neighbor, thy homeless neighbor, thy Muslim neighbor. I love this t-shirt. Thy black neighbor, thy gay neighbor, thy white neighbor, thy Jewish neighbor, thy Christian neighbor, thy, what is that? Atheist, racist, addicted neighbor. Asterisk, not an exhaustive list. Love our neighbors. How to, and the love of Christ is squeezing us into that, seizing us. How can we live into God's call to love God and our neighbors, being sunakayed by Christ's love for us? Just a refresher. Thoughts. We have more power than we think we do. The new status quo may be unexpected, and the love of Christ is sunakaying us into that new status quo. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love that seizes us, that grabs us, that takes us through the interruption into the new place that you're calling us to be. Please help us, as much as we can be helped, to allow ourselves to be sunakayed into your love. And into love for you and for our neighbors, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.